The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I feel a little sorry for Peter in this passage. Peter has been with Jesus for at least a year or so. And he has seen Jesus do some very amazing things. He has seen Jesus literally walk on the water. He has seen Jesus feed 5,000 plus people with just a few fish and a few pieces of bread. He has witnessed the crowd so overwhelming that Jesus has to go and sit on a boat to preach to them. He has seen Jesus cast out demons and heal the sick and even raise a little girl from the dead. He has listened to Jesus talk about the power of God's forgiveness, the power of God's love, and the power of the kingdom of God. And now, everything has changed. There at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." I can imagine Peter saying, "Whoa, where is this coming from?" And Peter rebukes Jesus. Rebuke means to sharply disagree. Matthew records his words as, "Forbid it, Lord, it shall never happen to you." I must admit it. I kind of understand Peter's reaction to Jesus suddenly talking about his death on the cross. This is totally different than anything he said before. If you think about it, suddenly everything about Jesus and everything that the disciples had and what they were looking at has totally changed. And then Jesus goes on to say that his followers need to live with that same attitude of sacrifice that suddenly he is now talking about. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. I think for many Christians, those words are still hard to hear. There are many of us that, like Peter, we want to concentrate on God's strength and his power and God's love and forgiveness, God's final victory over sin, death, and the devil, rather than listen to Jesus' call to take up one's cross and live with the same sacrificial life that Jesus did. And I know sometimes we misunderstand that phrase, taking up one's cross. There are those that think that taking up one's cross means living with the hard things in this life. That's not what taking up one's cross means. It means making the choice to live sacrificially. It means living out one's faith, even in uncomfortable ways. His name was David. David was living out the life of his dreams. He had a good job working for a major company in the area as a small business consultant. He was happily married. He had two sons, and both sons were at the very top of their classes, and one was looking at college in a year and a half. And he was kind of living the Green Acres life. Those of you who are older, perhaps you remember that show, Green Acres. He was a city boy who bought a small farm out in the country, and he had a barn, and he had a small tractor, and he was able to feed his family with out of the garden that he tended. He had been designated church council president for life. You could do that back then. The farmers in the congregation kind of liked having their church led by a fellow with a master's degree in business. So David was living out the life of his dreams, and he felt very blessed. And then one day, some new policies got written in his department. He was now to advise his clients that if they had any people of color working in their small businesses, ease them out of sales positions. Don't get rid of them. Just find a way to get them out of sales. For statistics was showing that companies were less likely to purchase products and services from people of color. As a person of faith, David felt uncomfortable with this new policy. He knew that in all probability, the companies that he would work with wouldn't have another position available if they moved someone out of sales. He went and he told his boss that he was uncomfortable with this. And his boss told him rather angrily that he had to toe the company line or his services were no longer needed at the company. To act on his faith meant that his whole life was on the line. Being a person of faith meant that he had to act with integrity. Not only if he took that stand would be out, he'd be out of a job, but his son's college education would be in jeopardy. Working as a small business consultant for a major corporation was not a job that you can find real easily. And the boss made it clear that he would not be working for any companies within a 100-mile radius. Certainly, he would have to leave his little farm that he had spent so many years putting together. But he felt called to act on the principles of his faith. He felt called to act with integrity. And he felt called to make a statement of faith to his corporation. So he went back to his boss and told him, as a person of faith, he could not obey the company policy. And David was fired. Taking up your own cross and following Jesus means acting out your own faith in the uncomfortable situations of your life. Taking up your own cross means living a life sacrificially for your Lord. Taking up your own cross means letting your faith take you in directions that you would have never chosen yourself. Taking up your own cross means living with integrity. Taking up your own cross changes and affects the way that you participate in the body of Christ. Taking up your cross affects how you deal with people in need around you. Taking up your own cross means being passionate about things that you believe in. Taking up your own cross means listening to the call of the Holy Spirit in your life and then not sitting on the sidelines, but jumping in with both feet. And taking up your cross is not an easy thing to do. It was not an easy thing for Peter to hear. It's not an easy thing for many Christians to hear even this day. This week, I was preparing for WOW, and I did my lesson on that passage about listening to Jesus' words about building one's rock on a house rather than building one's house on the sand. But I never noticed it before. This is how Jesus introduces the parable. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you.' Or perhaps better, 'You never knew me. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That makes me think about taking up my own cross and following Jesus. And about David. David decided to go into business for himself. And most of his clients he had at that corporation went and followed him. And by word of mouth, his little business grew until he was doing better than he was at that corporation. And he made two more changes. He started wearing a cross on his lapel. That was something he was never allowed to do at his previous job. But it was important for him to wear a cross when he was working with his clients. He even put a cross on the logo for his business. It was on his business cards. It was on his advertisements in the yellow pages. He wanted to know, he wanted people to know whose principles he was following. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Amen.